Hello, what's up guys? Eman from Peso Smart PH here and welcome sa panibagong episode. Shoutout din of course sa mga podcast listeners. So today, try out natin ng bagong format. Hindi ako nakapagawa ng presentation but yeah, we'll read through some of the articles that I found very interesting. And i-check din natin yung stock portfolio by the end of the video. So yeah. Stick out for that. So let's start with this article from Inquirer. So it's quite an old article. It was from like 2 weeks ago, April 6. So headline says, "How fast will the economy and the stock market recover?" It's from April Lee Tan. One of the main points of discussion among market players today is the shape of the recovery post-coronavirus disease pandemic. So earlier in March, I was in the camp that thought that the Philippines would have a V-shaped recovery, although I recognized that the economy would take a hit as consumers and businesses were abruptly forced to stop spending. I thought that the enhanced community quarantine would succeed in containing the spread of the virus and that everything would return back to normal once the ECQ was lifted. After all, China was able to contain the spread of the virus in a few weeks' time. Although there could be some delays, the ECQ would surely be lifted in a few months at worst, which is relatively quick compared to the amount of time it takes to resolve a financial crisis. Recall that it took a long time for affected economies to recover from both the Asian financial crisis in 1997 and the global financial crisis in 2008 because end-user demand needed to catch up to absorb the excess capacity that was built leading to the crisis. It took developers time to sell their inventory of houses and condominiums, while weaker companies had to close shop or sell out to much stronger competitors. Yeah, that is a really sad reality. Besides, the Philippine government now has a very aggressive fiscal stimulus program to address the ongoing COVID-19 crisis, and that should help the economy get back on its feet. However, the more I'm learning about COVID-19, the less confident I am that the Philippines will have a V-shaped recovery. One of the reasons why I now think that the Philippines will have a U-shaped recovery is that different countries around the world are at varying stages of COVID-19 infection cycle. For example, as of today, China is already in the recovery phase, while South Korea has successfully contained a number of infections through massive testing and isolation. Italy has already seen the peak in terms of the number of daily new cases, but the number of active cases continues to rise as recoveries have yet to overtake the number of daily new cases. And however, most countries including the Philippines have yet to hit the peak as the number of daily new cases continue to increase. Coupled with the varying approaches chosen to contain the spread of the virus, different countries will also most likely have varying timelines in containing the virus's spread. And my music just cut off. Okay. Anyway. As such, even if we succeed in containing the number of COVID-19 cases in the Philippines in the next few weeks, the government will most likely remain cautious to avoid a relapse. Our borders will most likely remain closed to visitors. Other countries will also most likely keep their borders closed for the same reason. Note that Singapore and Japan, which have so far successfully contained the spread of the virus, recently enforced greater restrictions on people entering their countries. They have to think about themselves first. Yeah, and that just makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Consequently, even after the ECQ is lifted, it will take time for our tourism industry to recover. Overseas Filipino workers who are now back in the Philippines will also have to wait longer before they can return to work. This would have a significant impact on the economy as the tourism industry accounts for about 13% of gross domestic product GDP, while OFW remittances account for some 10% of the GDP. And then another reason why I'm not expecting a U instead of a V-shaped recovery is because as long as there is still no treatment or vaccine for COVID-19, people will most likely remain cautious and continue to practice social distancing measures to avoid getting sick. This would mean people staying away from malls, eating at home instead of restaurants, and avoiding places where there are a lot of people. Moreover, Filipinos who lost their income because of the ECQ will most likely be less confident to spend even after the ECQ is lifted. And yeah, it's the day today is April 23. It's not lifted yet. The resulting drop in consumer spending would inevitably lead to slower economic growth. And then finally, if the COVID pandemic lasts much longer, companies that are vulnerable to pandemics such as airlines and hotels, and those that are financially weak will cut costs by laying off workers. Yeah, that is the really sad part about it. As more companies announce layoffs, consumer confidence and spending will deteriorate due to the increasing concerns of job security. This in turn will discourage businesses from expanding. The government would then need to spend more to support the economy by bailing out vulnerable businesses and giving jobs to the unemployed to break the vicious cycle. Nevertheless, even with my more subdued outlook, I still think that now is a good time to buy Philippine stocks. I couldn't agree more. This is because the negatives are largely priced in, with all stocks that are part of the Philippine Stock Exchange index now trading at a steep discount to their historical averages. In fact, the PSEI is now down 40% from its peak of around 9,100 points, while stocks that are part of the index are down by 54% on average. And currently this week, it's going to be a downward trend pa rin. And moreover, although there could be some delays, I remain confident that the Philippine economy will eventually recover, which is always the case, but it just varies on how slow or how fast. Yeah, that's basically it. And then, yeah, that's basically it for this article. Let's move on to the next one. Yeah, this one, PSE eases rules on Islamic finance. So this is from Business World, written yesterday, April 22. So the Philippine Stock Exchange Incorporated is adjusting its guidelines in screening companies' compliance with Islamic principles of finance, removing some previously imposed restrictions. The PSE released an April 20 memorandum in line with the amended Sharia rulebook. The new guidelines immediately took effect. And this is to further align the PSE Sharia guidelines with the recent change in the guidelines of our screening provider, Ideal Ratings Incorporated, to its accounting and auditing organization for Islamic financial institutions, Sharia rulebook, it said. For one, hotel operators that source their income from accommodations will now be accepted among Sharia compliant securities. Only if a hotel business gets more than 5% of its income from pork, alcohol, gambling, and casinos will it be considered non-compliant. Businesses engaged in embryonic stem cell research were also removed from the list of prohibited securities. The PSE said that this was not covered in the amended AAO IFI rulebook. Financial screening. The PSE will no longer require that the company's accounts receivables not exceed 67% of its 12-month trailing average market capitalization. It said the AOIFI guidelines exclude cash and liquidity ratios from the financial screening requirements to be Sharia compliant. These adjustments mean companies that used to have these characteristics may now be entertained by Muslim investors if they follow all the requirements. These companies may be included in the PSE list of Sharia compliant securities where Muslims refer to when investing in the local bourse. The other requirements to be SHARA compliant are that a company has less than 5% of its income derived from businesses in adult entertainment, alcohol, cinema, defense and weapons, financial services, example insurance, conventional banking, conventional financial institutions, derivatives, mortgage, among others, gambling, gold and silver hedging, interest-bearing investments, music, pork, and tobacco. Its cash or interest-bearing deposits or investments must also not reach more than 30% of its market capitalization, and its interest-bearing debt must not go beyond 30% of its market capitalization. The PSE releases the list of Sharia-compliant securities every quarter through a memorandum on its website, which I can't really access that very well, which is a bummer, but anyway. The latest was in early April, which included 52 listed securities. This was written by Denise A. Valdez. Thank you very much for that, ma'am. That's a good article. And then, moving on to the next one, it's from Philstar Global. So it says here, stock skid as global oil price collapses, which is a bit not really obvious, but I'm sure a lot of people are anticipating that, since like almost no one is moving around. So the huge drop in global oil prices sent the local stock market spiraling downward yesterday. The benchmark PSEI, the stock market gauge, nosedived by 141.40 points or 2.46% to close at 5.5k. I thought, nah, this week it's gonna go up to 6,000, but yeah, investor sentiment and yung mga bad news all over the world, it really pulled down the performance of the market. Likewise, the broader all shares index leaped by 84.16 points or 2.42%. Most sectoral indexes posted massive declines, led by the mining and oil and in the industrial gauge. Total value turnover amounted to 5.7 billion pesos. Market breadth was negative with 140 losers and 49 gainers, while 44 stocks were left unchanged. Philstar said global economic weakness, evidenced by the historical drop of the West Texas crude futures into negative territory, sent the local bourse together with its regional peers lower. Oil prices collapsed on Monday night, with WTI crude prices falling to negative $37.63 per barrel. Chris Mangun of AAA Securities gave this comment: global equities markets reacted negatively to the extreme drop in the prices of crude oil futures contracts. The expired front month contract in US crude for May plunged to negative territory for the first time in history, as almost no one was willing to take prompt delivery of oil in a woefully glutted market. The negative price means investors will need to pay buyers to take delivery of crude oil, reflecting the lack of storage space. He said that at the PSE, the main index ended lower as investors took cues from markets abroad and foreign investors dumped their portfolios. Outflows continued yesterday with $763.3 million worth of net selling. We saw heavy selling at the open as investors rushed to take profits. Yeah, since like steady na within the last 2 to 3 weeks na tumataas yung prices ng stocks. So yung ibang traders, parang yun yung cue nila na okay, medyo kumita na tayo dito. For example, yung Cebu Pacific, nagplummet siya to like 35, and then like yung pinakamataas na naabot niya is I think 53 on last week. So ano, nag-open yung market on last Monday, yun, marami nagbenta, and then of course since marami nag-unload ng stocks, and then may mga bumibili din naman, so bumababa yung prices niya. So the PSEI is currently down 4.4% for the week because of 2 days of consecutive losses. We may see it continue lower in the upcoming days and test its major support line at 5,500, Mangan said. So this was written by Iris Gonzalez. And yeah, remember, yung mga articles ito is naka-link naman sa description sa baba. So if you wanna check them out yourselves, you can just click the link below. Okay, so next one is from Philstar Global ulit. Wait, it's just the same one. Yeah, we're gonna skip that. Yeah. Move tayo dito from Forbes. So this was written by Rob Isbitz. So sabi dito, stock market and economy are on different paths. Here's why. This is not particular sa Philippines, so this is for the US, I believe. But I found this interesting pa rin, so I'm gonna share it to you guys. If you are confused, you are not alone. How to cut through the mess of messages. So look at the CNBC.com red banner headline from last Tuesday, April 14. Then look at the bottom right corner of this picture. Maybe I should just leave it at that for today, but I won't. So ayan, bull or bear market, nandito. Dow futures point to 400 point jump as virus outlook improves. IMF slashes growth forecast, says world will very likely experience worst recession since the 1930s. So here is a summary of the current Wall Street media buzz. We all know the economy is terrible and it's going to be terrible. Thanks to the coronavirus shutting down so much global economic activity. That's a 2020 story, but if you look toward 2021, the economy will have a huge bounce back year. So let's base our assumptions and outlook on that. The stock market is looking ahead to that rosy outcome, and that's why it's going an oops, I didn't mean to overreact that much thing right now. Heck. As of Friday morning, the Nasdaq 100 was slightly up for this year. Granted, it was up over 10% before peaking with the rest of the global stock market in February. The economy will be restarting soon and all will be back to something like normal. Let's raise our expectations for everything. Can I get an amen? Okay. Bottom line, the economy is all-time bad right now. And will be for a while. However, the stock market has not seemed to care. The S&P 500 has gained over 25% in just over 3 weeks. Here is my take on these developments. It is Wall Street's job to keep everyone enthusiastic. Nothing is more natural to big investment firms than talking their book. Higher trading volumes, more interest in the markets, greed over fear, etc. Can't blame them for it. Compensation drives behavior. It's part of capitalism, and it has been there long as the organized financial markets have been around. So no one knows what the market will do the rest of the year and into the next year. I think I mentioned this a couple of times na from previous videos. Yeah, wala talaga mga pagsabi, wala mga pagpredict kung saan pupunta yung market. Kung US market man yan or sa PSE. We can't really tell. However, we can and should be constantly evaluating what is possible, likely, or a black swan. Only then can you be prepared for events like the first quarter of 2020. So bear markets rarely end with everyone trying to pick the bottom. So yeah, FOMO, fear of missing out, is back because it never left. The most likely case is that the bear market ultimately ends the way they always do, with investors despondent and swearing off stocks forever, only to hop back on 200% higher years later. It's buy high, sell low, isn't it? Nope, it's the opposite. This is neither a time for optimism nor pessimism, bullishness or bearishness. It's a time to be realistic. And for investors who are within 10 years of retirement or already retired, that means allowing for a very wide range of outcomes, and this is the key, having a specific action plan for each one of those scenarios. Yeah, just being ready. That includes assessing in advance what will happen if your strategic approach turns out to be completely wrong. That is investment advice. Everything else is just sales. Okay, let's skip that part. Danger and opportunity, lots of both. That may sound vague, but all I'm saying is to develop a process that is less about what your TV tells you and more about data, history, identifying patterns, trends, and investment value. As I have said here recently, evaluating the latter has not been particularly difficult the past few days. Oh, the past few months, I'm sorry. It will get more normal again, but only when the market is good and ready for that. In the meantime, we are living through a time of great danger to those who have built wealth, but at the same time, the opportunity to exploit these strange times is perhaps greater than I have seen in 34 years of being a practitioner and student of the markets. I will have more specifics on all of the above as this week rolls on. Yep, that is a great article. Pindo sa USA base. And yeah, eto na yung state nung portfolio ko. So unrealized PNL is nasa negative 52k na. Yep, yung market value natin is nasa 247. And then, yeah, total cost was 299. Yung biggest loser ko is TMC. It has been for a while na. Even though hindi pa nagsistart tong COVID thing, I think nasa, I'm not sure, parang nasa 4 to 6k, inaalala ko. And then SPC, yeah, siya pa rin yung biggest winner ko, 90%. Well, not really sa percentage, but like in total nito. If you look at this, Maxis, I just recently purchased this. Nag-plummet yung market. Medyo mura ko talaga siya nabili. And then another one is PSB. SPC, medyo patagal ko na siyang hawak. I think more than 6 months na. Yung PSB, bagong bili ko lang din yan. Same with CLI. Yung EEI, okay lang din. Like, on paper, we're at a loss of 110 pesos. But maganda rin yung dividend yield niya. And then SMC2C, ito hindi naman talaga siya masyado gumagalaw. But like, when I was a noob, like nung nagsisimula pa lang talaga ako, ito yung una kong binili. And I didn't know na yung parang tamang buying price niya is at 75 lang, kasi yun yung face value niya. Yun yung introductory price niya when this was introduced. Itong preferred stocks na to. And yeah, I'm just showing this to you guys to be, you know, transparent. And yeah, hindi tayo lahat immune, you know. Kahit ano pang research natin, if may magkaroon ng ganitong crisis, talagang magkaroon tayo ng, you know, ng red days. And ano naman to, on paper lang. So this won't be, you know, kaya nga sinabing unrealized. This won't be realized. This won't be, you know, real life if you don't sell. And I haven't sold any of my stocks. And I don't plan to sell them, like, in my lifetime. Kasi, yeah, yung mga pinipili ko talaga is, like, stocks na nagbibigay ng dividends. And, like, stocks na magandang i-hold for a very long period. Yeah, anyway, yun lang naman, basically. Like, daan lang. And, yeah, meron akong, like, parang 79 na natitira dito. Pwede pang ipangbili din. But I'm just waiting for, you know, good deals. Kasi nakita na natin yung medyo mababang mababang prices last March. So, let's see if mangyari ulit yun. Like, makahanap ulit tayo ng katulad ng Maxis, ng PSB, mga ganun deals. Same with EEI. Kahit na medyo mababa din siya ngayon, yung usual price niya is hindi talaga, nasa 5 pesos lang. Anyway, yeah, yun lang guys, we're gonna end the episode here. And wala tayong quote for of the day for now. kasi nga hindi ako nagawa ng presentation, but anyway, stay at home everyone, stay safe, wash your hands, and hey everyone, thanks for listening to the podcast. If you want more of my content, be sure to leave a rating, give a like, share it, and subscribe. Your feedback is always welcome and appreciated. And remember, be PESA smart. See ya.